time to talk business. Inc. Radio. Real stories, real solutions. Inc. Magazine has the knowledge and experience to help you grow your business and stay ahead of the competition. This is Inc. Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I'll tell you what. Today, we're going to talk about a little crisis management. And only because in my business, like in your business, we deal with them every single day. Whether it be a phone call that just went wrong, and you don't know how it took a left turn when it was supposed to take a right turn. It just happens. And guess what? You better be prepared. And my feeling is that your choices that you make in that moment, in that rarefied air of should I get angry and ride the wave of anger and tell this person what I really think, or should you just be calm and take a deep breath and say, no, you're better off quiet and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So our guest today is author and CEO. He is CEO of Landmark Research Group. His name is Dr. Randall Bell. I'm going to call him Randy. I'll get real familiar real quick, Randy. And the book is called Rich Habits, Rich Life, and it's out right now. And I watched his TEDx talk. He did it at BYU, TEDx BYU. And he's a sociologist and economist. And they call him Dr. Disaster because when a disaster happens in business, they call the recovery man to help people recover from their own stupidity, most likely. He helps them to get a winning strategy and get results, because at the end of the day, you can bury yourself. So if you need a little bit of help in that, you may want to pick up his book. Once again, it is called Rich Habits, Rich Life. We'll start right there. Habits. Randy, welcome to the show. I have so many bad habits, and one of them I just described. I'm on the phone. Somebody tells a little white lie, and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Truth comes out. Of course, you know, I can usually be a pretty good doctor, but when somebody starts telling little lies and little things that are starting to make my blood boil, I can usually not control myself. I've got to set the record straight. That's actually a bad habit because, as I was just recently told, no, slow down, calm down, don't back them into the corner. This is the client. We got to take care of the client. Let's give them a chance to, you know, communicate. Don't just cut off their head. And it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, I literally, in just a matter of a few moments, I could have caused hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage because of my big fat mouth, Randy. Help!
We all need a filter. We all need a filter for sure.
That's why I don't drink, by the way, because if I have a half a beer, the filter's gone. Anyway, so first of all, tell the world about yourself a little bit. Why do they call you Dr. Disaster?
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal came up with that, and LA Times calls me the massive disaster. I work on these cases all over the world. I've been to 7 continents, 50 states studying cases. I worked on the World Trade Center and Hurricane Katrina, the Flight 93 crash site, O.J. Simpson, JonBenet Ramsey. Whenever a disaster occurs, they don't call some of these self-help gurus. They call me because they got real problems and they're not interested in cotton candy notions. They need real strategies for getting out of the mess the best they can.
Well, you know, Inc. Magazine is the magazine and media company for growing companies, and the one thing we need to grow our companies is great wisdom from the wise old owls like you. And crisis management is something that, man, I'm telling you what, I almost need to have a crisis management person in my office. Because, you know, here's what happens. Entrepreneurs, and we're talking about habits, having rich habits. I don't know whether it is my best attribute or my worst attribute, which is I speak my mind. And a lot of times, as I'm working with these big corporations, I need to learn how to bite my tongue more. And I'm telling you what, I guess maybe having some habits and some systems and processes in place for when I feel my truth bubbling up, as my wife says, I've got to speak my truth. After 30 years of marriage, I let her, but believe me, it used to be a real problem. I don't want to hear your truth right now.
Right.
So where do we start? Rich habits. I need better habits. How do you break it down for us?
Well, the way I break it down is into 4 cornerstones, Alan. They're me, we, do, be habits. Me habits build wisdom, and that's our own philosophy, our own value system. I think in that me cornerstone, we've got to take a stand, but we also have to balance it with that filter we were just talking about.
Right.
We habits build relationships, friendships, those connections that build businesses. Do habits build productivity? That's getting the job done. And then B habits is about the future. It's about going forward, setting goals, and that kind of thing. So you can take the whole world of habits, whether they're poor habits that cause disasters, rich habits cause success, and break it down into me, we, do, be.
Yep. Well, hold still. That was a whole lot of we, me, me, be, do, me, we. And I want to learn it. I've written it down, actually. Me, we, do, be. You guys get your pencils out. We're going to try and figure this one out and learn how to have rich habits. You can find out more at richhabits.com. Me and we, meaning Dr. Randall Bell, will be right back here on Inc. Radio. Stay with us. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Well, you're listening to Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor, a little AC/DC high voltage. And I am amped up right now. I am amped up. High voltage goes with the song, right? The reason is because in business, man, some people get high smoking drugs and doing whatever they do, drinking and all that. I get high on business. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I don't know why. I could stay up till midnight, get up 3 o'clock in the morning and start working again. And my wife's like, you're crazy. I go, no, I love it. I love it. I can't get enough of it. Doctor is here. The doctor. I need a doctor. Believe me. I need some sort of a help here. Dr. Randall Bell. He is the author of the book, Rich Habits, Rich Life. It is out now at newsstands everywhere. I'm sure on Amazon and all the rest. We talked about something there. I blew by it pretty darn quick. Again, you said it. I wrote it down. And what I did is I put a square box, and then I put me in one corner, we in the other, and then on the bottom corner, do, and then be. Me, we, do, be. Did I get that right?
You got it, yeah.
And it's kind of like four pillars. Can I call them the four pillars of your philosophy?
I call them the four cornerstones.
Cornerstones.
Yeah.
That's just as good. And these are the four cornerstones of rich habits, and you guys can find them at richhabits.com. I'm trying to help their memories because they're driving or working out or walking. Who doesn't want rich habits? So me, we, do, be. You started talking about one of the cornerstones, me. I think that's the kind of guy I am.
Yeah. I mean, it all starts with that I call it the chief cornerstone. And in business, it all starts with our corporate culture. It starts with our mission statement. And what you know, our level of wisdom, our intellectual property, all the things in our heads that make us me, and that's where the conversation starts. But then you go to we. We is our connections, our customers, our clients, everyone around us is the we in developing those relationships with the people around us.
It's the team spirit as well, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about teamwork.
Right?
Yeah.
And then do.
Yeah, do is taking care of our money. It's taking care of our products and services. It's taking care, on a personal level, it's taking care of our health and the health of our products and services. And it's also taking care of our environment, our workspace, our facilities and everything that goes along with the business.
And B.
Yeah, B is our game plan. It's to go forward. It's our goals. It's our time management. And it's all the things that we plan on doing in the future and kind of laying that groundwork today so that we get there in the future. The whole world of habits, first of all, 90% of business, 90% of life, it's stunning, but you think about it, it's habits. And so if you really want to succeed in business, and I do, you do, we all do, you got to take a good, solid look and an authentic look at our habits. And then what I've tried to do is break it down into bite-sized pieces to make it a manageable task.
So in your day-to-day, you're helping really, like I guess by the name, Dr. Disaster and kind of a crisis management consultant kind of a guy, but you look a whole lot deeper because there's the spin which everybody's always trying to find the spin of how can we make an excuse of why this happened. But then there's the reality. You better deal with it. Otherwise, you're going to be dealing with it again and again and again. It's going to spin out of control like a whirling dervish until it crashes and burns. And so you are going to try and come up with a winning strategy to help whatever, whoever, whatever company, whoever the person may be, come up with a winning strategy to actually get results and become successful again. Because obviously you're not dealing with the everyday workaday Joe off the street. You must be dealing with big corporations and such. Am I right?
I'm working with huge corporations, and all my clients are certainly multimillionaires, if not billionaires. And, you know, the conversation I have today is focused on rich habits. But the first realization I had about poor habits, I was working on with for the Nuclear Claims Tribunal on a case, and I was in Chernobyl, of all places.
Oh, my gosh.
And I get there, no kidding, Alan, I can't make this stuff up. I'm in the guard shack at Chernobyl, ready to go through this checkpoint where they're protecting the world's biggest nuclear fallout, you know, disaster. And they're having lunch, and these guards, we're getting along, we're having a good time, I'm American, they're Russian, blah, blah, blah. They have lunch, and they bring out the vodka. And I'm thinking, you know what, I'm not the brightest guy on the planet, but machine guns and guards and nuclear, you know,
and vodka
don't go together with vodka. Come on, you guys. It's that culture that rippled out and caused Chernobyl.
Oh, my gosh, exactly. Well, we're talking with Dr. Randall Bell. His book, it is online. You can find it at richhabits.com. You can find out where to buy it. I'm sure you can buy it at newsstands everywhere. Again, it is called Rich Habits, Rich Life, and there's more because we're going to learn how to take care of our own lives with our own personal crisis management through, you know, really getting some good habits in place. We'll be right back. It's Inc. Radio. Don't be a wantrepreneur. If you're ready to become an entrepreneur, Benetrends Financial can help. Benetrends' proven and innovative funding strategies help real entrepreneurs like you get the funding you need quickly, safely, and economically so you can finally purchase that business of your dreams. Get started today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends.com. Benetrends Financial, funding for the life of your business. Listening to Inc. Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Alan Taylor, and this is a show about, well, how to make good decisions in life, how to be a better business person, how to be an entrepreneur. And Inc. Magazine is the magazine for growing companies, and you can find it on newsstands everywhere. This month on the cover is from the Shark Tank, Robert Herjavec. It says right next to the side of his head there, "How I Did It." Grit and wisdom from the founders of a lot of different companies. I'm not going to go through them. They start on page 37. Pick up this month's issue. Always a great read. Inc. Magazine. Back with Dr. Randall Bell. I call him Randy. Randy, so you write this book, and it's out, everybody. It's called Rich Habits, Rich Life. And I understand you surveyed over 5,000 people to come up with some of the answers of some of the rich habits. How'd you do this?
Yeah, I did. I'm an academic at heart, and as well as being a practitioner in business, and I don't like just popping off with my notions of success. Then I'm just in the league of these success gurus. I want to do real research to back up what I'm saying. So we surveyed 5,000 people in the U.S., Canada, the U.K., and Australia, and we statistically correlated various day-to-day habits with various measures of success. Well, I can tell you explicitly what things cause disasters and what things cause success statistically.
So I noticed when I was watching your TEDx talk, by the way, everybody, I think you should all watch it. It was very enlightening. He goes through his four cornerstones of me, we, do, be. And these are kind of the cornerstones of these rich habits that he talks about, richhabits.com on the web, by the way. And in there, you talked about something called dive, survive, thrive when it comes to dealing with a challenge. Can you walk through that a little bit? Because I realize there are different types of people, and that's kind of what that points to. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I've noticed working on these cases all over the world is that there's really only three options when you hit a crisis, whether we're talking a big one or a little one. And you can take a dive and never recover. You can survive, work your way back to the baseline, and that's cool. But the best thing is when you thrive, when you get beat up and you come back bigger and better than you were before. I love that kind of stuff. That's really what kind of floats my boat, Alan. I love studying people that bounce back bigger and better than they did before. And the way they do it is through a paced day-to-day effort, an intelligent game plan where they kind of build these four cornerstones. They build their thinking, they build their relationships, they build their productivity, and they build their game plan for going forward. And they take it a step at a time.
It's interesting you say that, because I tried to lose some weight here a little while ago, and I was successful. I did very well. I lost 20 pounds, and then I have slowly started putting it on, and my wife says, oh, you're creeping back up. And really, what happens is that, you know, you get in the habit of being healthy, eating healthy. I got off of dairy, and I got off of sugar, and I got off of gluten. And man, the weight just started dropping off me. And I thought to myself, how cool is this? And it really wasn't that difficult. It boiled down to choices, right? I mean, because we choose, and I can choose good habits and eating healthy, or I could choose bad habits. Like last night, it was my son's birthday. Everybody, we went to Baskin Robbins, and they all got the big giant cup of ice cream. And I said, no, thanks. You know, and before that, we went out to sushi. I got one sushi roll, and everybody else got like three. And I thought, you know, I'm making good choice. I felt good. You told a story about a kid that lived with you on your TEDx talk. In order to give people a little incentive to go watch your talk, tell that story real quick. Give me the shortened version of it, because this is not hard, people. We can all do this. Randy?
Yeah, I volunteer. I live in Laguna Beach, California, and the thing I love about this town, it's a beach town, my kid's a surfer and all that, but there's a homeless shelter, and I like to go down there and talk to the homeless people, men and women, that really want to work their way back and get their jobs back and get their lives together. And so I teach them me, we, do, be, and we have these conversations about daily habits. So there's this guy named Danny, cool guy, and he had hit he had some poor habits. That's why he was there.
Yes.
And he wanted to turn around and get some rich habits. So he, you know, like a lot of people that want to turn it around or really do something great, they want to do it all at once. And that plan doesn't work. And so he came back with all these like 27 new huge habits he's going to do, you know, read four books a day and on and on. I said, Danny, you just pick one. And he says, okay, this one, I'm going to do 50 push-ups a day. And I said, Danny, that's cool, but some days you're not going to do 50. Just do one push-up a day. That's it, Danny, one push-up. And he did his one push-up. And some days he was wiped out and tired and only did one push-up, but he did it. But it turned into 10, 20, 50. And he started doing all his other stuff gradually, too. I went in there one day to say hi to everyone. He says, hey, Dr. Bell, I'm going to miss you. And I said, what's up? He goes, I'm moving out. I've gotten a job, all of my new habits. I go down to the beach, I meditate. I go to the library, I read books. I've gotten a job. I show up 5 minutes early. He thought in this time frame or this work plan of habits, he got it all put back together. He reconnected with his family, knocked off the alcohol and prescription drug nonsense, and got his life back together. It was a total thrill.
He chose good habits. And you know what? And that works to your book, Rich Habits, Rich Life. So, and it can turn into that. By the way, it reminded me, as you were talking about, one old saying I heard a long time ago when I was going through a tough time in my life. I was in my early 20s, and this wise man said to me, he goes, you're not looking so good. And I says, yeah, I don't know, man. I got a big hill to climb. He says, you know what? How do you eat an elephant? Do you know this one, Randy?
I do, but go ahead.
I love it. He says, I said, I don't know how to eat an elephant. He says, one bite at a time. And I went, oh,
beautiful.
My gosh, right? One push-up at a time for your little friend, right? These little things, these little habits that if we just kind of take these cornerstones of me, we, do, be, these habits that are rich habits, and we can change the course of our lives. And we can't try and jump to the top of a building. No, get up and go one step at a time up the staircase. And before too long, you're at the top of the building. And it's all we have to do is get good habits. So I want to get a copy of your book, and I'm going to go online, richhabits.com. You guys, Rich Habits, Rich Life is the book. It's on sale now. Check out Dr. Randall Bell. His TEDx talk was inspiring. Randy, thank you very much. Great job today.
Hey, Alan, I loved it. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. All right, so now you know how to do some of this crisis management, which really, if you just adopt some good habits, you'll never have to deal with the crisis. It's Inc. Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it. Well, Well, thanks for joining us once again. Inc. Magazine on newsstands everywhere. Inc. is the magazine for growing companies, and we want to help you grow yours. I want to grow mine. Who doesn't, right? So on this month's issue, the July-August issue, you'll see the face of my friend and a good guy, Robert Herjavec. He's from the Shark Tank, and just a great dude, by the way. So it says right next to his head, how I did it. Grit and wisdom from the founders of AccuWeather, Lyft, FanDuel, lots of other ones. You can read them. They're all start on page 37. I won't go into it too deeply because we're not going to talk to any of those right now anyway. But joining us right now in order to help us a little bit understand crisis management, stuff like that, is Ben Peterson. He is the CEO and co-founder of Bamboo HR. He's also a contributor to Inc. and has been for a number of years. So, Ben, how you doing, man?
Hey, great. Great to be here, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Good. I'm glad you're here. So can we kind of climb down off of the crisis management for a moment and break it down to something more basic? And I'll use myself as the example. I'll throw myself under the bus. I have employees. I've had maybe 10, 11 employees, and it changes all the time because, you know, typical of small business, you have people that work part-time and full-time, and they trade places, and some come and go. But I have right now a little crisis that actually could evolve into a big crisis. And it boils down to some employees just don't like each other. And I've got a couple of them right now that just don't like each other. But one of them is really, really important. The other one is my son-in-law. So it's a real problem. So I don't want to fire him. I don't want to get rid of him. He's a great kid. He's just a kid. The other one, a mature adult. But he gets under the skin. And let me tell you, Ben, he gets under my skin, too. But he's a good kid, and I like to give young people opportunities and try and mentor them, and I'm trying to do that with him. And so, you know, but that doesn't mean that my other employees and people I work with want that same, you know, that same getting the kid getting under their skin all the time. So for a moment, it is my personal crisis. I don't have any big crisis, but let me tell you, this could turn into a big crisis. So advice on anything? Can you help me out here, Ben?
Yeah, well, I think as simple as it sounds, first of all, I think that it is a big crisis because whenever you're dealing with people and how they communicate and how they behave and how they function, I mean, you're talking about a business with, you know, 10 to 20 employees. It's not like there's 1,000 employees there and if two people have an issue, it's no big deal. I mean, you're talking about 10, 20% of all of your employees having a problem.
Right.
But it also feels like that when you kind of find yourself in that situation where you're trying to solve for the specific problem that you have, it's almost like you're a little too late and there are some things that you should have looked at beforehand as far as setting up a foundation of communication and culture and behavior so that when people step into your office or they're a new hire, then they really understand the behaviors and how people communicate. And it seems like with these types of situations and any crisis management, frankly, it's all about that. It's all about that communication that matters and how we communicate to each other, as well as understanding what's expected versus what's not expected and that whole accountability issue that goes into play as well. Now, I don't envy you your position because, frankly, family makes it a lot more complicated.
Who doggy?
But I've heard a saying before that that accountability and that honesty needs to happen first or you're going to lose your friends and frankly have real issues with family as well.
Yeah.
So just an invitation to be open, get everything out, be very transparent, and hopefully we're all highly functioning adults, right? And we're able to understand the situation and do what's best for the business, which also frankly means doing what's best for our people. And frankly, sometimes those parties, sometimes they can't see that. And in those instances, hopefully they see themselves that it's time to move on. And in those difficult instances, because especially with small businesses, those relationships are close and they matter and they're valuable to us. They're meaningful to us. We genuinely care about these people. Sometimes we have to let them go and help them find a better, happier place for them.
You know, it's interesting. And by the way, everybody, Ben Peterson, he's the CEO and co-founder of Bamboo HR. You can find it online at bamboohr.com if you want to know more about him, as well as he's a columnist and contributor to Inc. magazine, as I am a contributor with the radio show. It takes a village, as you know. Thank you for this mentoring, by the way, because I always thought crisis management, I don't need crisis management. But, you know, the best time to get crisis management is before you need it, because it's like the ounce of prevention instead of the pound of cure, right?
Absolutely. And we see it all the time. And it doesn't matter the size of the company. You know, small business, people talk about small business, depending on who you talk to, sometimes it's under 100 employees, sometimes it's under 10. But definitely it's about the people, always about the people.
Well, and the thing is, too, it seems like because we are a small company, and whether you're in, you know, even on a team in a big company, when you have a team or a small company that is a team, you create kind of a toxic environment when things are going wonky between relationships, you know, because really, ultimately, in these small businesses, you, like you said, are very close. There's personal relationships that start happening. You go out for a beer afterwards, and then you maybe go to a concert, and all of a sudden you're floating down the river or going to the beach, and, you know, you become friends with these people. So all of a sudden it's like, ay, 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 my whole life is being affected by the fact that, you know, I didn't deal with the communication part of it well enough in the beginning. So your advice is, set up some sort of a culture in the beginning with proper communication guidelines. What do you suggest, real quick?
Well, absolutely. I think that transparency and freedom to be open,
yep,
up front, and that, just that understanding where I can say what I think, I'm free to share. It removes just so much confusion, removes problems with communication, adds clarity to the direction, to the goals, to the expectation. And just early on, be authentic, be real. There's no need to hide things. The more that they understand what's important to you, and you're saying these are the expectations that we have at a minimum. Here's the baseline of what's expected to you. But this is what we really want. We really want exceptional. And in order to be exceptional, I have to be able to share in a very concise, clear way with you how things work here. Here's how we're going to operate at our firm. Here's how we're going to communicate at our firm. Here are the things that matter to us. Otherwise, sometimes we set them up to fail. Mm. You know, we expect them to come in. We expect them to read our mind. We don't want to micromanage. We don't want to look over their shoulder. And sometimes that translates to mean, I don't want to really share with you what I'm trying to accomplish here. I don't want to share with you some of these things that, frankly, you would need to know to do your job well.
Right.
But because I'm a bad communicator, I'm not going to share with you. Or I'm not going to share with you the right way so that you can understand what those priorities are here.
Whew. And you know what? That has its own poison as well, and just not communicating well. Stay with us. We're going to talk more about, well, we'll call it crisis management, but how about how to have happy employees and start out with that kind of a culture, setting up the right systems and processes to increase productivity and engagement. Engagement! Let's talk about that on the other side. So many distractions these days. You're listening to Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back.
The romance is dead, cause the solar pillows occupy in my head. There is nothing.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
You're listening to Inc. Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Alan Taylor. I'm an entrepreneur. I was a wantrepreneur, and I decided to just go ahead and make it real one day, and I don't look back. I love it. I love my life. I probably work 100 hours a week so I don't have to work 40. And that's what they say. That's when you know you're an entrepreneur. But I do love it. I can take time off whenever I want, but never do, because my life is just having fun being an entrepreneur, buying and selling properties and airplanes and cars and whatever I want to do, I do it. But I do it with a certain amount of, I guess, knowledge and wisdom of what I'm doing. And my friends would say, "Oh, you're so lucky." But no, it's because I do my homework, and that's part of this show. Whenever I have a problem within my own company, I go, "Well, how can I fix that?" By using the radio show, throw myself under the bus, say, "Well, I didn't do this, but you know what? I can make the changes." You can make changes right midstream in business. You can go, "All right, guys, we have not been doing this, but from now onward, we're going to put some systems and processes in place, and people are going to be accountable for what they're doing. But also, I want to have happy employees, and I think that putting those systems into play will make my employees happier." Now, let's say you guys don't have that problem. Let's say you have pretty happy employees, but they're not engaged. How do you increase engagement and productivity? So I'm going to keep on trying to bridge the gap between my world and other people's worlds with our friend who's on the line right now, who's also a contributor to Inc., Ben Peterson. You can find him at his company, BambooHR.com. HR standing for human resources, I take it, Ben?
Yes.
Okay. That was an easy answer.
Yeah, that wasn't easy. Give me a hard one.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, ultimately, our human resources are just about our most important resources when it comes to business, no matter what size it is. So let's talk about that. How do we help people to be more engaged and still be kind of happy? Because there's so many things that they're using distractions to make themselves happy because maybe they're miserable, maybe they're frustrated, or maybe they're just being distracted by life with, you know, Facebook and all, you know, summertime outside, and they're sitting at the office. They're just not engaged. They're thinking, their head is somewhere else. Help us with that, Ben.
Yeah, their head's definitely somewhere else all too frequently, and it's difficult for companies to get that mind share, right? To say this is the part of our employees' lives that they're focused on helping the company grow. And it's an advantage at Bamboo HR, frankly, the research that we get to do to learn how people think and what's important to them. And it frustrates me personally to listen to kind of the mimicry in the market and everyone copying this research or that research and saying this is, you know, we care about our employees, and hearing the employees say, "We hear you say that, but you behave differently," where there's just so much lip service given to, "Hey, our employees matter," but we're failing miserably at really kind of engaging them in the right way. And we did some research recently that found out why do people leave? Why do people leave jobs? And if you ask your buddy and say, "Hey, why'd you quit?" You know, the typical answer is, "Oh, I didn't get paid enough. We actually found out that that's not the primary reason they leave. It's actually the third. So there are usually other reasons that they find in their work environment that justifies or to them says, "I need to get out of here." And then money is the easy excuse. But the first one is actually advancement, where there's no growth. And growing business is really growing people. And if there's not that ability to grow the employee, then they're gone. The second one is the work-life balance, which is really interesting because there's such a push, especially in entrepreneurship, right, in these smaller companies where it's, look, we're trying to do these great things, and we're going to give it all we've got, and we're going to work those 100 hours so we don't have to work 40. But really, that's not what people value. It's not that I'm going to go sleep under the desk and I'm going to take one for the team. It's how do I have balance between my personal and my work life, and which one's really most important? And at Bamboo HR, we really believe in trying to create this culture of work life is here to support personal life, not vice versa. And for us, that's been a real focus, as well as the communication around advancement that, frankly, for us and for the companies we work with has been a huge benefit.
Mm. Well, matter of fact, talk a little bit about how did you get into this? I mean, here's a guy, everybody, I know, Ben, six children. You talk about work-life balance. And how did you get into being an entrepreneur, starting your own company, focusing on human resources in this way? And I'm going to have a break coming up, but I'm curious because you chose this as a line of work. Is it because you have six kids and you have to learn how to... Oh, no, that's another story. That'll be for another day. We'll take a little break. Don't go anywhere, Ben. I want to find out about this because Human resources, my goodness, it is so important how we deal with our employees. Some of them, in my case, are my family members, and I have to learn how to really draw the line between that. We're talking about crisis management today, whether it be the little things or the big things. You're listening to Inc. Radio. Stay with us.
To the sound of the breezes that blow. You know, I'm trying to please to the calling of your heart strength that plays soft and low. Yet all the night's magic seem to whisper and hush. Yet all the sun.
The Craftsman C3 19.2 volt 3-speed impact driver boasts 3 user selectable speeds to help you get your project done right. The low speed setting helps with projects that require precise control. Medium speed prevents overdriving, and the high speed will give you the power and speed to get the job done fast, delivering up to 3,500 impacts per minute and over 1,600 inch pounds of torque. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Well, you're listening to Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. And also, by the way, I want to just tell you, I started a brand new video podcast with my friends at Microsoft. It's called Business and Burgers, and you should check it out at businessandburgers.com. It's a show where we basically go to a burger joint, a brew pub, sit down with somebody who is successful in life, like our friend who's on the phone with us, Ben Peterson, and maybe he tells us his story and tells us the secret sauce, the ingredients to his life that has set him up to succeed, to win, to be a champion in this world, in this crazy world that we live in. And so check it out at businessandburgers.com or on Facebook at Business and Burgers. It's really fun. And Ben Peterson back with us again, bamboohr.com. He's also a contributor to Inc. magazine, as I with this radio show. Ben, you know, we were talking about, you know, crisis management. How about you could tell us a little bit about Bamboo HR first and how you got going with all that? Because I always love the backstories, right? And then we'll talk, you can help us, you know, a little bit with setting up a culture. What do we do? So Bamboo HR.
That's a great question. And they're so tightly aligned, actually. That's actually a fun story for me. About 8 years ago, I got together with a partner who I just really cared about, and we'd worked at previous places, and we knew that we wanted to engineer the culture. We knew that we wanted to create a place and a specific work environment where we're really aligned about having that balance and that quality of life. And the reason that I started companies, frankly, was just because I wanted the freedom to be able to go to my son's t-ball game, or go to my daughter's soccer game, and just be able to spend time with the family and have that freedom. So setting up a place where we could go and we could work, and that we could do really meaningful things and have a significant impact on the way that companies run. And then at the same time, we could have that balance where we were caring about the things that mattered most, our personal lives and our families, and,
right,
and trying to develop and grow on both sides, frankly. And so as we looked at businesses, we basically sat down in a room with a whiteboard for about 3 months, and we brainstormed business models and ideas and domain names we'd owned and technology we understood, and really tried to tease out of all of our ideas what would have a significant impact on people. And first of all, where would be a great place to work where you were having an impact? Because we talk about engagement, right? And engagement matters when you're doing meaningful things. And as we came out of that, we looked at all of these things and said, you know, we care significantly about small businesses. So Bamboo HR focuses specifically on that small and medium business in size. And how can we bring advantages to them that the big guys have, you know, with their million-dollar budgets, et cetera, but they're going to help these companies grow and engineer a work environment where all their people can benefit.
So at the end of the day,
came out of it. At the end of the day,
you designed a company that you actually want to help others to duplicate. And I've got about 2 minutes before we end the show. I need to help set up a lot of people with a culture in that 2 minutes. Give it to me.
It's best principles, not best practices. So there's a ton of content from tons of different places, from blogs and experts and HR specialists that you can go and read about performance and engagement. The studies are there. The statistics are there. Everybody knows that the companies that have engaged employees outperform those that don't. But just be careful. Go find those best practices, read them, study them, and then pull out those best principles and apply it to your organization. And do not give lip service to your people. People matter most. Be authentic, be clear, have accountability, share the mission, share the why, and make those be the way that you behave, be the way that you communicate, be the way that you are together and the way that you grow your business. And don't think for a second that there's not real tangible dollar impact on those decisions that you make early on. And you will avoid so many crises and so many distractions to be able to just have a clear path ahead and just run as fast as you can. And it's just so liberating and fun to grow that way.
I love it, man. It's good advice, and I'm going to take it. Best practices, principles, I'll add virtues and values. Live and walk and breathe and be who you don't just pretend to be, but are. And with all that said, you'll have a company culture that is real, not one that is bolted together with a manual. You have to be it. Am I right, Ben?
Perfect. Great way to put it. Much better than I did, Alan. Thank
no, it's beautiful. I appreciate it. You can find him at bamboohr.com. You can also find him at inc.com, where you can find this radio show, Inc. Radio. I hope that you've enjoyed it. We hope that you've, you know, learned a little something and maybe can avoid a crisis. That's what we want to do. We don't want to have crisis management. I don't want to manage a crisis. I want to avoid it. That's my job, is to help you and me and my family and my friends to avoid crises and be successful in life. Ben Peterson, thanks. And thanks to all you guys for listening. We'll see you next week right here on Inc. Radio. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.